This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Over the last 60 years, San Antonio has seen some massive changes. It's unrecognizable from what it was in those times in the 50s. Now, the Alamo City is known for so much more than just having a historic battlefield in our downtown. So many big changes during that time, and Lila Mae Banks Cockrell was there during the leadership position for many of them. Mayor Lila Cockrell has served two different tenures as mayor of San Antonio and helped guide the city to what we know it today. And she writes about it in her new book, Love Deeper Than a River, My Life in San Antonio. We're waiting for Mayor Cockrell to join us any moment now. She's going to be talking about her life in San Antonio, her roles that she has had, many of them leading the city. If you got a question or a comment, you can call in right now. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And we're expecting Mayor Cockrell to join us any minute now. To tell you more about Mayor Lila Cockrell, she was born on January 19, 1922. During World War II, she served in the Waves branch of the United States Navy. So she is part of the greatest generation serving in World War II and on going on to be living a life of total public service here in San Antonio and elsewhere, in Dallas. In Dallas and in San Antonio, she led chapters of the League of Women Voters during the 1950s. After serving for a decade on the city council here in San Antonio, including her 1969 service as the city's first woman mayor pro tem, Mayor Cockrell was elected in 1975 to the first of two terms as mayor of San Antonio. At that time of her inauguration, San Antonio's population gave her the status of a mayor over the largest American city being governed by a woman. She's not the first woman mayor of a major American city. That belongs to someone in Seattle. She was second, so that's still something. And so she became mayor of a major American metropolitan. And so it was her term and mayor. She saw many different controversies and transitions, but she was succeeded by Henry Cisneros. And then during Cisneros' term, when he left San Antonio, Mayor Cockrell ran again for mayor, and she again reclaimed the mayor's chair. After retiring from political office, Mayor Lila Cockrell served numerous municipal positions in commissions and civic boards here in San Antonio. In 2013, she retired as president of the San Antonio Parks Foundation. It's a position that she held since 1998. Mayor Cockrell is a member of the Hot Wells Conservancy Board, where she is working with the Bexar County Commissioner's Court to restore the former Hot Wells Hotel Spa Bathhouse, which flourished in the first two decades of the 20th century, and it's located along the San Antonio River on the south side of the city. I'm sure many of you have gone to the Lila Cockrell Theater, enjoyed many shows there, named for Lila Cockrell, part of Hemisphere 1968. It was named in her honor as part of the Henry B. Gonzalez Convention Center in downtown San Antonio. It's also been a meeting room for the convention center. Now we're joined with Catherine Nixon Cook. She is the co-author with Lila Cockrell on the book, Love Deeper Than a River. And Catherine Cook, welcome to The Source.
Hi, thank you. I'm happy and excited to be with you.
So what a job to have to help Lila Cockrell write her memoir. And it is such a loving tale of her life. So talk about that experience.
It was a wonderful dream come true, and she is a delight to work with. Her memory is absolutely remarkable, going many, many decades back. And I loved it because it was a fun combination I learned more about San Antonio and its history and the inner workings of getting things done than I'd ever known before. And that in itself is fascinating. But she also revealed her personal life, which is a beautiful love story with a wonderful man. And I loved combining the two. And she just did a great job. And it really was a dream come true project. I loved it.
And so I guess you got a history lesson as you wrote the book. I'm sure you know San Antonio's story well, but there's so many facets to it.
Exactly. I'm a native San Antonian and have lived here all my life, but many of the things that she described in the 1970s, the 1980s, even the 1990s were new to me, and I think they will be to many of your readers. And I think a lot of times looking back at the history of a city, we can understand better where we are today and where we might want to go. And I know if Henry Cisneros calls in, he wrote a wonderful foreword, and of course, as a longtime public servant, both locally and nationally, he can probably speak to the politics and city workings better than I can. But I will say, I showed the book to my 12-year-old granddaughter, and as she paged through it, saw the love story, saw the workings of a city, and saw Lila Cockrell's absolute commitment to compromise, to listening to others, she said to me, and of course she would not know Lila Cockrell being 12 years old, this is a fabulous woman, and wanted to read the whole story the way one might read a novel. So I love that the book is interesting to all ages. It's really a tale for all ages.
Lila Cockrell now joins us now in the studio. And Mayor Cockrell, welcome to The Source. It's great to have you here again.
Oh, thank you.
So, Love Deeper Than a River, Your Life in San Antonio. The title, Lila Banks Cockrell. But when you first ran for office, that's not the name that was on the ballot.
Just Lila Cockrell. Well, in fact, the first time I ran, for the first two or three times, it was Mrs. S.E. Cockrell, Jr., because at that time, it was sort of new and very different for a woman to be a candidate.
And many women were known by their husband's name.
That's right. My beloved husband was Sidney E. Cockrell, Jr., and so I ran as Mrs. S.E. Cockrell, Jr.
And that was even on the nameplate that was in front of you when you won your position on city council.
That's correct. Uh-huh.
But it shows you today how things have changed. No woman, I think, today would run under her husband's name. She would be able to take her full identity as name.
Well, I think that shows a lot of progress through the years. And it's hard now to think back about how things really were in those earlier times. And so those of us who were sort of plowing new ground really had some challenges.
Exactly. And you were absolutely a groundbreaker, becoming a mayor of a major American city at a time when that was a woman taking that leadership position was unknown, pretty much. We're going to talk more about that when we come back from the break. If you got a question or a comment, a memory, something you want to tell Mayor Cockrell, now's your opportunity to do it. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And The Source continues right after this one-minute break. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio, Lila Cockrell, former mayor of San Antonio, author of the new memoir, Love Deeper Than a River, My Life in San Antonio. Mayor Cockrell served in the big office at City Hall from 1975 to 81, and again in 1989 to 1991. So she must have done a pretty good job that first time around because she was brought back in, elected back into the mayor's office. Mayor Lila Cockrell, when you look back as your time as mayor of San Antonio, what do you see as the accomplishment that you are most fond of?
Well, you know, it's hard to pick out any one thing. I think it's just establishing the fact that a woman could, in fact, lead a major city, and that you could be trusted to make the right decisions and be able to stand up in controversial times for what you felt was the right thing to do. I know that there were challenges along the way, and I felt that most of the time I was fortunate in making what I felt were the really right decisions. A few times I did feel that perhaps I could have taken another path. But one of the things that has helped me so much in my public life is the fact that during my high school and college days, an extracurricular activity in which I participated was debate. And in debate, you learn the fact that whichever side you get, whether you're on the positive or the negative side, you have to prepare a case. And it taught me that before I made a final decision in public life, it would be well to be sure to hear not just a positive side, but also what are the negative things that could be said about this issue. And by stopping a minute and thinking it through, I really was able to save myself from making some decisions that would have been appropriate to me on first glance. So I think it's just good always to stop and evaluate the total picture before making a final decision about something really, really important.
Let's go to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. We've got a question or comment, a memory for Mayor Lila Cockrell. Here's a chance for you to call in. We'd like Bob here, and let me get Bob, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you, brother. I love the program. And thank you, Mayor, for your service. I was born here in San Antonio in 1960, so I've known you for a long time, and I admire you. My question is, why did you do it, and how did you do it? So why and how?
Because well, those are two big questions.
Thanks for the call, Bob.
Why I did it was just that I didn't see the entire possibility when I first became a councilwoman. And at that time, I had an invitation from then Mayor McAllister to be a candidate on what was the Good Government League ticket for city council. So I knew I would have sort of an easy path because at that time, the Good Government League was a group of civic-minded citizens who tried to put a slate together that would work in the public interest. So the door was open very easily for me to become a councilwoman. But the big step was in 1975 when I became the candidate for mayor. And again, I was sponsored by the Good Government League, and it was a big step for them, and there were several persons that were being considered to be the GGL candidate for mayor. But behind the scenes, those persons who were supporting me were prevailing. And so I really did not influence that decision. I felt they should just pick the person that they felt would be the best candidate and the best representative for the Good Government League in the community. And that was one of the last times the Good Government League was really effective because as time went on, it was one of these organizations that has a lot of young, enthusiastic people. And then everybody gets a little older and doesn't work as hard. And other groups began forming, which was really good for the city because it broadened the citizen participation. And if there was anything that I really worked hard to promote, it was trying to get more and more citizens really involved so that our government would be really representative and not just sort of a tool of a few influential people or a few people who cared enough to work and participate. And so it was just a very exciting time for me, and the doors kept opening, I guess, because I worked hard.
So Mayor Cockrell, people did trust you. You mentioned trust earlier as you were talking about your career, and trust is a big factor because it seemed like you were on the political stage working for the people's benefit without an agenda.
Well, I just didn't pay attention to gender particularly, you know. I was a very happily married woman with my husband, and I had two lovely children. We had a happy family, a very stable family. My husband was the principal breadwinner so that I could work at the city council position and then later as mayor, which were certainly at that time very low-paying positions. And that, you know, I always laughed and said I had an outside means of support, an employed husband. So that was wonderful, and the fact that he also, and you know, supported me and what I was doing, And he was a leader in his own right because he participated in a lot of civic things. He was a member of the Alamo Kiwanis Club and very active in a number of community things.
Yeah, but you did not have a personal barn-burning agenda that you wanted to personally accomplish other than to manage the city and have stability. What was your driving vision?
Well, as I started out, one of my goals was, since I was being given what was a unique new opportunity for women in San Antonio, I wanted to be sure that whatever I did was done in such a way that it would keep that door open for other women to be able to follow. And so, you know, this was early days. I always tried to act and respond in a very ladylike way and befitting a family person, a mother, a community worker, a volunteer. So those were the roles that I followed. But then gradually I became more and more interested in not just the issues of maybe parks, recreation, things like that that might be very appealing, libraries, appealing to a mother. I was more and more interested in water development and in city planning, many issues that were meatier. And I became more and more concerned about, particularly about our decisions in the public power area, and working with City Public Service, on which I served as an honorary board member as mayor, and being sure that we were making the decisions that long-term were going to benefit San Antonio. And I think those decisions have brought us through many, many years in having utility rates that were very comparable to the best in the country, particularly for municipally owned utilities. And so I'm very proud of City Public Service, what has been accomplished there, our City Water Board, and of course our City Transit Board now became Via Metropolitan Transit. So it changed a little bit in its denomination. But I had served in honorary positions on all three boards.
Another major transition that took place during your leadership was the dawn of the era of transparency. When you first got involved in city government with the Good Government League, so many decisions were made behind closed doors, not a lot of information being given to the public or debate opportunities for the public. But that changed through the decades and while you were there, and people expected to have a better idea. They wanted to be clued in on what was being discussed in those big meetings. How difficult was that for people in leadership to adapt to?
Well, it was sort of like opening a door that needed to be opened. And what it led to was a great deal of citizen participation. And in some cases, people got a little bit nervous about the level of citizen participation. We had, for example, the COPS organization coming to the fore, Communities Organized for Public Service. And this was an organization of grassroots people, many of whom were Hispanic and others. And felt that they had not had a lot of opportunity in the past to be heard and were really, in some people's view, a little pushy in their way of moving forward. But, you know, I listened, and although I didn't always say yes to what they were pushing, I tried to see that they had the opportunity to make their voice heard. And I think that was very important.
Yeah, so COPS Metro Alliance with Ernie Cortez.
Yes,
they came
right
into San Antonio, organized on the west side, south side, mainly along parish lines, got people organized fighting for better city services on some neglected parts of the city. And, of course, that caused a point of conflict with people like yourself in City Hall who are trying to figure out how to make things work. And it seemed like you we're trying to help them, but everyone, like in COPS, they wanted a revolution, but you were looking for a transition. Is that it?
I guess that is it, because I remember one meeting that the COPS had, and they had a list of improvements that they were demanding that we guarantee would be funded as a city council. And it amounted to $100,000, or I may be off on the number of decimal points there, but it was a large figure at that time. And several of the council members immediately agreed to it. And I simply said, I tried to say at the meeting, I want to be sure that we can find funding for this before I give my final answer. I know that some of it would have to be funded in a bond issue. Some of it might be through community development funds. We might find other special grants. And I was interrupted. They said, no, you've got to say yes or no. And I said, in that case, not being able to see the final solution to the funding, I'm going to have to say no. Well, that was I was the only one that said no. And so they said, oh, no. But I could not give an answer yes when, you know, it was a large figure, and I just didn't have all the answers that I needed.
Right. But so we can see all the good that organizations like COPS have done by fighting for their parts of town, and then coming to the city hall and making demands, and then and confronting you and you standing up to them. You have this way of being able to be steely and tough, but without making people feel too bad about it.
Well, I tried to do that, because in the first place, I did listen. My door was always open. I will have to tell you one little story that was kind of fun by saying my door was always open.
I tell you what, you know what? I want you to save that story, because I've got to take this break right here.
Okay,
got to get some callers on the air. The number is 210-614-8980. We're joined by Lila Banks Cockrell, former mayor of San Antonio. Her book is Love Deeper Than a River, My Life in San Antonio. She writes a very personal story about growing up in Texas and having this grand adventure and love story. Part of it is being a leader here in San Antonio and helping the city become what we have today. If you've got a question or a comment for this pioneer woman, give us a call. 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio, Mayor Lila Banks Cockrell. She has led San Antonio during some tumultuous times. Got a question or a comment for her. The number is 210-614-8980. Love Deeper Than a River is My Life in San Antonio is her recently published book, and it's from Trinity University. It's from Maverick Books from Trinity University Press. We're going to get to the story that she wanted to tell. We're going to get to that in just a second, but first I'm going to get Jerry on the line, on the air here. Hey, Jerry, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Mayor Cockrell, I just wanted to know, as an early pioneer of being a mayor for San Antonio, did you ever feel that you were more scrutinized than, say, a man would in that position? And or did you maybe put a little more pressure on yourself to be a good example or do a good job because you might face that kind of scrutiny?
Great. Thanks for the call, Jerry.
Well, I don't think I felt that there was more pressure on me because I was a woman. I do remember situations when I would be representing the city at a national meeting of some kind or other, and running into people who did not recognize San Antonio as a major city. And I remember sitting next to a gentleman who said to me, and what do you do, little lady? And I paused a moment, and I said, he said, what have they called you in San Antonio? And I said, well, in San Antonio, they call me Mayor Cockrell. And he said, oh. And that sort of ended the conversation. But, you know, different places you would go, you know, you were recognized as being a little different because you were a woman. I didn't pay much attention to it myself, but when other people were making comments that were sort of derogatory to my status or in any way, you know, not really recognizing San Antonio as the important city I thought it was, I would kind of try to straighten them out a little bit.
When we were going to break, you mentioned you had a story about your open door or at
yes, right.
Talk about that.
Well, I always had an open door for council members to come in and, you know, tried to get along really well with all my council members. But we did have an election, one of my last elections, where some newcomers were elected. And one of them was a councilman named Bernardo Uresti. And Bernardo was a, kind of an impetuous young man, very dedicated, carrying a torch for getting everything he could for the beloved parts of the city that he felt he represented. And so that we had a meeting, and we were talking about the allocations of community development grant funds or some topic. I think that was the topic. Bernardo would not stay in his seat. He kept jumping up and wanting to talk more. And finally, I said in a very stern voice, the gentleman will take his seat. He said, I don't have to. Stood up. And I said, the gentleman will take his seat. I said it one more time. And then I said, is there a police officer in the room? The chief of police stood up. I said, escort the gentleman from the chamber. Came up, took Bernardo by the arm, marched him out. Well, the next day, Bernardo came to my office through that open door. And he said, I've been thinking about what happened yesterday, and I don't know if you really had the authority to do that. And I said, well, Bernardo, you know, that was yesterday, and I'm not positive if I had the authority or not, but you didn't think of that yesterday, did you? And he just laughed, and I laughed, and we had a good time. So we went on from there, and we were still friends.
The number to call is 210-614-8980. We're blessed to have Mayor Lila Cockrell with us in the studio today, talking about her book, Love Deeper Than a River, My Life in San Antonio. Got a question or a comment for her, give us a call, 210-614-8980. So, Mayor Cockrell, during your time as mayor of San Antonio, there were more than just a couple of controversies that you had to deal with. Which ones do you think come to mind?
Well, I think controversies really centered around allocation of funding and whether you were doing, you know, the right thing by each of the things or the causes that you really felt you had to fund. And early on, I felt that in the field of arts, when I first got on the council, that we were funding the symphony. We were funding the San Antonio Museum Association, and we were, you know, funding some of our parks projects, that kind of thing. But it wasn't very broad. And so pretty soon there became an opportunity to fund other arts organizations that were in the Hispanic field and in the African-American field. And pretty soon, with a little nudging, the Fiesta Commission, I felt, moved forward and expanded the roles of the different organizations that could participate in the Fiesta Commission. And I felt that we had a right to exert a little bit of pressure because we as a city were donating money to the Fiesta Commission, feeling it was one of the major events that made San Antonio very special. So pretty soon there were things like there was a Queen of Soul, there were a number of events that took place on the west side, other community organizations were participating. So I think it was just kind of keeping the pressure on in a really a quiet way, but continuing to get a message out that the city had to be for everyone and that we had to be reaching out to all of our populations and keeping our door open, really to be the kind of metropolitan, cosmopolitan, wonderful city that I feel we are.
We've got a question on our voicemail line.
Yes, name is David, and after the recent election and two of these three propositions passing, the San Antonio credit rating appears to be going down as promised by the Say No campaign, and I was wondering what Mayor Cockrell thinks about the outcome of that election.
Well, I am, to be honest, very concerned about it. I think, and I'm very disappointed that our city manager has submitted her resignation. I think she has done an excellent job. You know, it would, I think the propositions were presented in such a way that many people did not understand some underlying problems. Now, if there's any group of people that I love personally, it's our firefighters and our San Antonio police officers. I think they're both wonderful. In this case, the firefighters apparently were not pleased with where things were or what the prospects were in terms of their opportunities in negotiating salaries. The police officers very thankfully reached the city concerns and their concerns and were able to get a happy resolution, and the Police Officers Association approved their contract. The firefighters did not approve their contract. In fact, I have been told that they did not even attend meetings held by the city staff appointed by our city manager to conduct the negotiations, which I think is disappointing. So I am concerned about the outcome, and I think time is going to tell. Immediately, we have had a lowering of our evaluation in terms of our standing, and we were so proud of that AAA, and I was so proud of our city manager who had maintained that AAA rating through very careful city management.
Now, there were people behind the propositions, the firefighters and City Councilmember Greg Brockhaus, who don't like the fact that we have a city manager council form of government and they would like to go back to a mayor-led type city. Mayor Cockrell, you've been around in your 96 years. You've seen a lot. You've seen how we've arrived at the government we have now. Do you think that there are people out there that haven't learned the lessons that we had in the past and so they want to adopt a regressive form of government?
Well, I'm sorry to see some of that developing, and I hope people will stop and think about it. I'm very supportive of the council manager form of government. I think through the years it has served us well. I think as a city, we have been relatively free from the type of scandals, the type of unpleasantness that has permeated some other city governments who have had strong mayor forms of government or other forms. I think council manager government is set up in such a way that it is kept closer to the people and that it really, I think it's the best form of city government that we could choose. And so I'm hoping very much that that we won't see any more deterioration in our support for council manager government. And of course, I'm disappointed that we're now facing a search for a new city manager.
Well, it'll be up to the voters, and the voters need to get the best information possible so they can make the best decisions. We're talking with Mayor Lila Cockrell about her years at the mayor of San Antonio, her long life here in San Antonio. Her book is Love Deeper Than a River, 210-614-8980. The source continues. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Lila Banks Cockrell is the author of the book, Love Deeper Than a River, My Life in San Antonio. And a big chunk of that life has been a leader of San Antonio as mayor, as a city council person, as a commissioner, someone who's led the Parks Foundation, so many accolades, so many accomplishments. She's with us today, and she's ready to take your calls and questions. The number is 210-614-8980. And Lewis is on the line. Hi, Lewis. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for having me. Mayor Cockrell, I was just curious, if there's something you could keep or change about the city, what would that be? And my second question was, do you see the city of San Antonio moving in more of a positive direction or negative direction as far as growth on the state level and not only that, the national level?
All right. Thank you, Lewis, for the call. Mayor Cockrell.
Well, I think our largest challenge right now is attached to the fact that we are one of the fastest growing cities in the country. And that means that in order to accommodate that growth, it means that the city has to make, the city council, the city leaders have to make a number of decisions about providing the facilities, the roads, the highways, the streets, everything that is needed, the expansion of utilities to meet that growth. I think growth is very good for a city up to a point. And then once you get the spigot opened, right now I'm a little troubled by the rate of growth. You know, it's interesting to be recognized nationally as the one of the largest growing cities in the country, but it's also challenging. So for the city, I would just say to use caution in planning for this growth. It has to be done in an orderly way. We have to be able to move ahead on additional bond issues, which makes me more concerned about any threat to our bond rating. Many times people might think, why are bond ratings important? They're important because it depends, the interest rate you pay on the bonds is very closely tied to your bond rating as a city. So all of these things are the challenges for the city council moving forward. And so I just hope that we have the continued leadership that will keep our city moving, and we'll keep our city growing in an orderly, sustained fashion.
Another caller. This is Sister Margaret. Sister Margaret, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. Mayor Cockrell, I have a wonderful memory from 1989 of you as an internationalist. That was when Kumamoto, our Japanese sister city, was going to have its Kumamoto City Fair. And who they met, the all-male delegation, was you as the mayor, Jane Macon as the city attorney, Elizabeth Costello as the head of international relations, and me as the president of the Japan-America Society. You continue to be very positive and supported that international dimension of San Antonio, and thank you very much.
Sister Margaret, thank you for your call.
Great, thank you, and I love your mentioning our sister city of Kumamoto. I do have a pretty funny story about that. We were getting ready for that trip to Kumamoto, and we were asked to bring a performing band to, or a performing group, let's say, to be part of a big presentation when the three sister cities in, from around the world in the United States, of which San Antonio was one, would each bring this an act, you might say, to be part of the show. And so we had a lovely country western type band all set to come. And about 2 days before we were to leave, of course, we all had our passports and had our bags packed. One of the performers had to drop out because of illness. And so the head of the group, and we had signed a contract for a 7-member group. Well, we were down to 6 members, and here at the last minute, we were in violation of our contract. And, of course, we wanted to be very precise about living up to it. I didn't know what to do. And so we called and called, and no one else had both the type of instrument and a passport who was available. I was talking to my daughter, who lived at that point out of town, but she listened to my story, and I was, wailing, what are we going to do? And she said, well, Mother, you know, I have an accordion, and I have a passport. And I said, oh? And I called the leader of the band. He didn't know my daughter, didn't have any idea if she could play very well or how she would fit in with his group. And he said, well, let's sign her on. We can take her along as part of the group. And so they got over there, and fortunately, my daughter is a very fine musician. She fit right in. And so when it was all over, he said, gosh, she was good, and we better hire her for our band. Anyway, we fulfilled our contract and arrived with the 7 members that we had signed to bring to play country western music for the Kumamoto audiences.
Fantastic. Let me get another caller. This is Robert. Hey, Robert, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I've been in this city 66 years from birth, and I also love it. Well, my question to you, Mayor Cockrell, is do you feel that this city has serviced what I call the forgotten neighborhoods of the West Side, East Side, and South Side, as well as the ones that, as well as in the North Side? Do you think there has been equal representation as far as funding of these communities?
Robert, thank you for your call. Mayor Cockrell.
Well, I would say over more recent years that that has been worked on very hard. And particularly when we went to the districting plan, then each of the neighborhoods of the city, each of the sections of the city, had 1/10 of the pie in terms of representation at the council chamber. And so I think in the past, there were times when it was very one-sided. And the power of the city financially had developed all on the north side, or most of it on the north side. But we see wonderful things happening now on the south side and on the west side, different areas. And, you know, Texas A&M, you know, came in on the south side and is an anchor there, and then other industries that were coming in all around the city. And I think it is beginning to show the results of more recent years of development. And so we tried when I was mayor to begin diversifying, and when we went to the districting plan, that really, I think, was the time when we saw more and more opportunities for help to all the city.
Right, so that the districting plan, the 10-1 plan, as it was known at the time, because we had 10 districts and one mayor to be elected at large, and you were the first mayor in San Antonio to be elected by popular vote. That's a big accomplishment.
That was in 1975, and it was very exciting.
And it was because we then had districts. You mentioned Bernardo Yuresti, other people like Van Archer, and other interesting.
Yes, it was We had, it was so interesting because we had a wide range. We had some very conservative folks like Van Archer, which was fun to have that broad span of representation. But we also had Bernardo Uresti and at one time Rudy Ortiz. We had people from all across the spectrum.
And people having to work together
That's right. Come
up with solutions for the entire city.
And we had some very strong members. Henry Cisneros was a wonderful councilman, later became mayor. Another very strong councilman was Glenn Hartman. And Glenn really loved city planning and made major contributions. Jimmy Haslocker was a great friend. And we just had some wonderful folks from all the range of political spectrum.
But you created the mold. You set the standard for having a mayor that would work with all the different districts, each district with their own special needs and political points of view. And as the mayor, being an individual who could broker the peace and figure out consensus mm-hmm. for the entire city to move the city forward.
Well, that's what I tried to do.
And it's not easy to do. We've seen some mayors try it and come up short. What's the secret?
Well, I just love people. And I just enjoyed, I just was so appreciative of the fact that I had been given this opportunity. And I was never looking for anything for myself, but just how I could serve, how I could help open doors so that others could follow. And I was always looking for qualified people that I would recommend. And I didn't always get them appointed, but I got a lot of them appointed. So that was nice. That was good.
Mayor Lila Banks Cockrell, Lila Mae Banks Cockrell. Her book is Love Deeper Than a River, My Life in San Antonio. It was also written with Catherine Nixon Cook. And there's a foreword in the book, a great foreword by Henry Cisneros. It's published by Maverick Books, part of Trinity University Press. This is Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.